Jesus at the center changes everything. It doesn't mean trying your hardest to somehow imitate him. It's about Christ being formed in you and transforming you from the inside out. Jesus at the center means his character and his priorities become your character and your priorities. In sharing from Philippians 2, 5 to 8, we hope to help you in this radical transformation. The scriptures say, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He has no equal and no rival. He is the one and only. He humbled himself to enter human space and skin. He sought your splendor and glory. He obeyed your will as a servant and died to bring forgiveness for the sins of the world. He conquered death and is exalted to the highest place. He is Lord of all, and he is Lord of me. Ken and I are so glad that you joined us for this online worship experience. We would love to hear from you. We have been so blessed to have some parking lot visits with church family. Our prayer is that you will know Jesus and that you will keep him centered in your life.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. That taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood his mercy rains, unending love. Amazing has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood his mercy rains, unending love. Amazing. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
We're going to look into the Word of God. If you have a Bible, you can look at Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the winds broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Well, this is a familiar passage. And the approach we will usually take with it is the reality that Jesus is in the boat with you as you go through the storms of life. And that's very true. And we can hold on to that as well. But what if we look at the vessel, the movement, the journey, the change? Aren't we all facing some change soon? Maybe this is what this passage needs to speak to us today. It begins with that day. So much had happened. It seems like actually this day had started being recorded in Mark chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, "Another time." He heals the man with a shriveled arm. The crowds follow, and he tells the disciples to get a boat ready. He appoints the 12. He goes to someone's house, and the teachers of the law question him. The story that Norm talked about a few weeks ago about his mother and brothers. A sower parable, the lamp on a stand, growing seeds from last week, mustard seed. And now that day, and it's in the evening. No wonder he wanted to get away. He must have been so tired. And he wanted to get away from these crowds. Now, in Mark's gospel, crowds represent kind of the curious and those who want to see the cool stuff. But they don't represent the followers of Christ. And so Jesus wants to take his disciples away from the crowds and go to the other side, to change places, to change direction. And in truth, we don't like change. We kind of like to stay where we are. We like our comfort zone. We like to be in our groups. And this side of the lake was Jewish, and we will see that the other side of the lake was the Gentiles, and he was taking them to that area. The reality in our faith journey, Jesus doesn't want us to stay in one place too long, to settle. So he takes his disciples to the other side, to a side they're not familiar with. Does the Lord do that to us sometimes? So they couldn't rely on themselves and their own knowledge. And the journey, as we see, is not easy. This boat trip represents getting from one place to the other. In verse 35, Jesus says, "Let us go over to the other side." In truth, trading spaces, changing, rarely is without its challenges. And Jesus didn't tell them where they were going. You know, sometimes we get a destination focus. We can sometimes miss what the Lord is showing and teaching us in the journey. We feel we have this checklist that we have to check off. But we, through the journey, the goal is the opportunity to grow and to learn and to see and to hear. And the hardest thing is to get in the darn boat. Imagine if the disciples said, "But there might be a storm and it's evening and no one will help us." They wouldn't have got in the boat. The Sea of Galilee was known for sudden storms. And this was no ordinary storm. In the scripture, when it says a furious storm, it means megas is the word. It was a huge, unprecedented storm. It even scared seasoned fishermen. And what if they had said, but we don't know what's on the other side? They would have never gotten in the boat. If they had known about the Gerasenes and the demons going into the pigs and how mad the people were when he did that. Jesus knew that they needed to change their location, to get away from the crowds, to meet the great needs on the other side. It wasn't necessarily going to be a comfortable place, but it was so necessary. And so we do note these promises that we see in this story. Jesus doesn't say, "You go to the other side and I'll meet you there." He was with them. Maybe not at first the way they thought he should be. Does that sound familiar? That Jesus doesn't kind of do what we think he should do or what we are praying for? But if you will trust him in this, even in the difficulty of the journey, you will see him in a different light. You will know him better. They will begin to realize it. Quite frankly, that was even scarier. They say that they were actually terrified when they started to realize who exactly it was that they were with and they were following. Who is this that has the power to calm the seas, to control the winds? Later, with time, Peter would declare what they were all beginning to realize. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. As we allow the Lord to take us on these journeys, we will change. We will be changed. One person said this, growth is painful. Change is painful. But nothing is as painful as staying stuck where you don't belong. Perhaps our act of faith is not just to trust that Jesus will still the storm. The act of faith is taking Jesus' invitation to heart and getting in the boat with him wherever he will take us. We believe that the other side is not only possible, but is essential for what he wants to do in us. And then also take note, I had never noticed this before. Does that happen to you with some passages of scripture that you see something that you've never seen before? In the second part of verse 36, it says, there were also other boats with him. Are you like me that you just thought it was Jesus and the disciples in the boat, that there wasn't anyone else around? What does that remind us? That we are not alone, that we should be not alone in these journeys. We need each other. People will sometimes say, well, I can be a Christian without church. It's true. But it's so much better when we take this journey together to love each other, to support each other in our journeys. I believe that we need to pray over our new Corps officers. Could be, I suspect they might be a little scared. This past week, I looked up a story about something that Raphael posted on Facebook. It was from America's Got Talent. Now, I have never watched the program. But I was intrigued by the story of this young woman. Her name is Jane. And she sang and she got the golden ticket and she gets to go right to the final round, I guess. I'm not exactly sure how it works. But she has a blog. And I looked at her blog. I would encourage you to check it out. It's called Nightbird with an E at the end. If you will bear with me, I think this is important to read one of her stories. Because it talks about, is God in her storm? It's certainly a boat she didn't want to get into. But God keeps showing up. And she talks about it. I spent 3 months propped up against the wall of the bathroom, she says. On nights that I could not sleep, I laid in the tub like an insect, staring at my reflection in the shower knob. I vomited until I was hollow. I rolled up under my robe on the tile. The bathroom floor became my place to hide, where I could scream and be ugly, where I could sob and spit and eventually doze off, happy to be asleep even with my head on the toilet. I have had cancer 3 times now, and I've barely passed 30. There are times when I wonder what I must have done to deserve such a story. I fear sometimes that when I die and meet with God, that he will say I disappointed him, or offended him, or failed him. Maybe he'll say I just never learned the lesson, or that I wasn't grateful enough. But one thing I know for sure, he can never say that he didn't know me. I am God's downstairs neighbor, banging on the ceiling with a broomstick. I show up at his door every day, sometimes with songs, sometimes with curses. Sometimes apologies, gifts, questions, demands. Sometimes I use my key under the mat to let myself in. Other times I sulk outside until he opens the door to me himself. I have called him a cheat and a liar, and I meant it. I've told him I wanted to die, and I meant it. Tears have become the only prayer I know. Prayers roll over my nostrils and drip down my forearms. They fall to the ground as I reach for him. These are the prayers I repeat night and day, sunrise, sunset. Call me bitter if you want to. That's fair. Call me among the angry, the cynical, the offended, the hardened, but count me also among the friends of God, for I have seen him in rare form. I have felt his exhale, laid in his shadow, squinted to read the message he wrote for me in the grout. I'm sad too. If an explanation would help, he would write me one, I know it. But maybe an explanation would only start an argument between us, and I don't want to argue with God. I want to lay in a hammock with him and trace the veins in his arms. I remind myself that I'm praying to the God who let the Israelites stay lost for decades. They begged to arrive in the promised land, but instead he let them wander, answering prayers they didn't pray. For 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. Fire lit their paths each night. Every morning he sent them mercy bread from heaven. I look hard for the answers to the prayers that I didn't pray. I look for the mercy bread that he promised to bake fresh for me each morning. The Israelites called it manna, which means, what is it? Sound familiar? When the disciples said, who is this? That's the same question I'm asking again and again. There's mercy here somewhere, but what is it? What is it? I see mercy in the dusty sunlight that outlines the trees, in my mother's crooked hands, in the blanket my friend left for me, in the harmony of the wind chimes. It's not the mercy that I asked for, but it's mercy nonetheless. And I learn a new prayer. Thank you. It's a prayer I don't mean yet, but will repeat until I do. Call me cursed, call me lost, call me scorned, but that's not all. Call me chosen, blessed, sought after. Call me the one who God whispers his secrets to. I am the one whose belly is filled with loaves of mercy that were hidden for me. Even on days when I'm so sick, sometimes I go lay on the mat in the bathroom and the afternoon light to listen for him. I know it sounds crazy. I really can't explain it, but God is in there, even now. I have heard it said that some people can't see God because they won't look low enough, and it's true. If you can't see him, look lower. God is on the bathroom floor. And from our story, God is in the storm. God is taking us to the other side. Through the journey, we will see more of him. And I ask you, will you trust him in the journey of change? My dad, it's Father's Day. He got in a boat that wasn't of his choosing. He had a stroke at 72, and I was angry. Not so much that he got sick, because bad things happen to us at some point, but that he was left in such a state and that God didn't take him home to be with him. That Dad had to live like that for years. Yet in those years, Dad taught us so much about our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Dad, and he learned so much too. We would use his songbook, which I treasure, for devotions. And he would choose a song to be read. And as I looked through it, I noticed that his choices were focused on the life of holiness in the challenge section, focused on consecration, focused on service, focused on prayer. Dad, at one point at North York Temple, moved his wheelchair to the mercy seat, and I believe truly gave all this journey to his Lord. Dad went on a journey from one side to the other, and it was hard. And there were many storms along the way, and yet he taught us so much because he trusted in the one that was in the boat with him. As I was looking through his songbook, I noticed that on October 15th, 2004, he chose this. It's the song that you've heard me talk about before, that I have chosen for the last year and a half. I bring to thee my heart to fill. I feel how weak I am, but still to thee for help I cry. In joy or grief, to live or die, for earth or heaven, this is my cry. Be thou my all in all. Around me in the world I see no joy that turns my soul from thee. Its honors fade and fall. But with thee, though I mount the cross, I count it gain to suffer loss. For thou art all in all. I've little strength to call my own, and what I've done before thy throne I here confess is small. But on thy strength, O God, I lean, and through the blood that makes me clean, thou art my all in all. Now we come to the story. No tempest can my courage shake. My love from thee no pain can take. No fear my heart appall. And where I cannot see, I'll trust. For then I know thou surely must be still my all in all. Christ is all, yes, all in all. My Christ is all in all. And precious congregation and friends and family, church family, may he continue to be your all in all. If he is not, he is there. You just need to reach out and he will be there with you. Amen.
All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the streams of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy, as deep cries out too deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come. Your heart in the streams of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy, as deep cries out to you.